Hello and welcome to Dealcast, the voice of Merger Market, the world's leading publication about mergers and acquisitions. I'm Juliana Needham, a journalist who's been covering M&A for a decade. In this episode, we're talking about a huge deal in one of the hottest sectors of 2025, cybersecurity. Palo Alto has made a $25 billion bid for CyberArk, making it one of the biggest tech deals of the year. But how closely will antitrust regulators be scrutinising the transaction? To find out more, I'm joined by Serafina Smith, who is a US regulatory reporter for Merger Market. Hi, Serafina. Thanks very much for joining me.
Hi, Juliana.
Could you begin with a brief introduction to both companies, CyberArk and Palo Alto, and explain simply, if you can, what they do?
Yeah, of course. So these are two large publicly traded cybersecurity companies, and they've both been around for a long time in the space. So Palo Alto was founded in 2005 in California, and CyberArk was founded in 1999 in Israel. So that's pretty long for cybersecurity companies. Palo Alto focuses on what's called network security, which could be like a firewall. And CyberArk focuses on identity management. So these are two different areas of the cybersecurity space. Identity management is a very simple explanation would be like when you work at a company and you log into the company's systems, it would need to verify your identity to gain access. So this deal is like what people I talked to described as a complementary expansion, where it really is about Palo Alto entering into the identity management space where they're not active right now.
Okay, great. That explains it really nicely. It's one of the latest of a number of really big cybersecurity deals. We had Wiz's takeover by Google's parent company Alphabet, and also Cisco buying Splunk. And then a bit smaller, the British company Darktrace being bought by Thoma Bravo. Given this is a big deal and it obviously meets all the thresholds of the antitrust regulators globally, could you outline, you kind of touched on some of them there, that it was a complementary deal, but what are the potential challenges here for US regulators, if there are any?
Yeah, so I think the big size of the deal is definitely notable. This is about a $25 billion deal. Google's acquisition of Wiz would be around $32 billion, and that was also in 2025. So this is the second largest this year, but the third largest recently, including the Cisco Splunk deal. And I think that big size could lead the DOJ to do some initial outreach. They could ask the company some questions during the initial HSR period. But my reporting shows that a second request would be surprising in this deal because of the complementary nature of it. You know, we do have two antitrust agencies in the U.S., the Federal Trade Commission and the Antitrust Division of the Department of Justice. And I think this would be a DOJ matter because they usually look at cybersecurity.
And you mentioned HSR there. Just tell us what that means.
Yeah, that's the HSR stands for Hart-Scott-Rodino, but it's the initial 30-day waiting period in the U.S. So when companies merge, they have to notify the U.S. antitrust agencies, and then if 30 days passes after that notice, then they're free to close a deal. So the U.S. agencies don't really clear deals, but they just don't take action, and then they can close it. Or they issue a second request if they want to look at it more, and that can sometimes lead to further actions to block the deal, but not always.
Thank you. And you mentioned in your article about bundling being one of the potential challenges. Could you just explain what that means and how it's relevant to this deal?
Yeah, of course. I think to get into the potential bundling concern, it would be good to talk a little bit about the cybersecurity industry. So I spoke with a competitor who explained this industry as kind of having three legs to the stool. There's network security, where Palo Alto is a big operator, identity management, where CyberArk is a big operator, and then endpoint security. And this deal would allow Palo Alto to be active in all three of those areas. So then a question could arise if Palo Alto can offer what's sometimes called like a full suite or the full range of things, the DOJ could potentially consider a bundling theory. A bundling theory is, a bundling is when a company has an anchor capability, a product that has market power, and it can bundle that with other products and sometimes foreclose competition to the products that it's bundled with.
So is the concept of bundling, is it something which causes problems in a lot of tech deals?
That's a great question. It's actually not a very popular theory in US antitrust enforcement. It's kind of a novel theory, and it's pretty unlikely actually that the Trump administration would look into a deal using a novel theory like this. The Biden administration tried it once in the Amgen Horizon deal in 2023, which led to one of the only behavioral settlements that administration accepted. So it's unlikely, according to the sources that I spoke to, that this would really be a big concern. It's just something that they could ask about.
Okay, thank you. That explains it really clearly. Could you expand a bit more on the market, who the other major players are in cybersecurity? We've obviously mentioned a few of them already. And does it help that Palo Alto isn't one of the big five or Magnificent Seven tech companies? Because I'm guessing they would warrant more scrutiny than this slightly smaller player or significantly smaller player.
Yeah. I think Microsoft is worth mentioning as a huge player in the cybersecurity market. And one competitor I spoke to mentioned that it'll be interesting to see if Microsoft reacts to both this deal and the Google Wiz deal. There's some consolidation happening in the space. An antitrust attorney that I spoke to also mentioned, you know, Palo Alto is a large public company, but it's not really on the radar of the Trump administration in the same way that, you know, those Fang 7 companies are. So this is unlikely to encounter the same obstacles that one of those big tech companies might encounter from like a more political, for political reasons, at least according to the sources that I spoke with.
You mentioned about the Trump administration. We can't really avoid the fact that regulation in the US is becoming increasingly political. What is the government's view on big tech, and is that likely to have any effect on this deal?
Yeah, the Trump administration, both the DOJ and the FTC, have expressed an interest in continued aggressive enforcement of big tech. They continued investigations into big tech companies that were started by the Biden administration, such as FTC's Meta case, the Google case brought by the DOJ. But I don't think that this Palo Alto CyberArk deal is going to fall into that category of big tech that could be like targeted by the Trump administration. They are a large company, but they operate in cybersecurity, which is not as political of a space. The FTC in particular is interested in things like free speech on platforms, like we saw in the Omnicom settlement. So I don't see like a political aspect in cybersecurity, but, you know, these agencies have only had this leadership for less than a year. And, you know, we can always still be surprised by how they look at things.
Yeah. And I guess, as you mentioned, this is a much smaller company than those huge tech companies, the Magnificent Seven or the Big Five, as they're referred to. Could you just very briefly outline some of the precedent deals? We've mentioned many of the names already, Wiz and Alphabet, but any other ones to keep an eye on?
Yeah, I think one to mention would be Thoma Bravo's acquisition of ForgeRock in 2022, because ForgeRock was also an identity management player. But it's worth noting that one did get a second request from the DOJ and had an extended regulatory review. But it's a different situation there because it was a horizontal overlap where the DOJ was worried about Thoma Bravo rolling up ForgeRock with Ping Identity, which was another one of its portfolio companies. That had an extended review where the companies met with DOJ officials and extended the timing agreement, but it did ultimately clear. And then in the Splunk Cisco deal, that one also cleared its initial HSR period without a second request. So we haven't really seen litigation or anything. So let me just start that last little bit over. So we haven't seen litigation or a block in a cybersecurity deal recently.
And it feels like there have been quite a few deals in this sector. So I'm guessing that the DOJ is reasonably familiar with it, even though it's a very fast growing and fast moving sector.
I would think so. You know, that's one of the reasons why it helps for the agencies to divide different industries between them. And this is one of the areas where the DOJ does seem to have some expertise.
Great, thank you. And just to wrap up, could you outline the likely timescale for this deal?
Yeah, one thing that was interesting in the merger agreement is the companies have guided to a close in the second half of Palo Alto's fiscal year 2026, which means between February and July of next year, which is a relatively long timeline. Some folks that we spoke to mentioned it could be due to the due diligence and the legal elements that the companies will have to complete before they can close. The Cisco Splunk deal, although it didn't get a second request, did take a while to close as well. For example, that one was announced in September of 2023, cleared its initial HSR period in November, and then didn't close until March of the following year.
Okay, well, it's one we'll be keeping an eye on. Serafina, great to talk to you. Thanks a lot. That was Serafina Smith, who's a US regulatory reporter. And just to point out, we're recording this on Friday, the 8th of August. Thanks for listening to this week's episode of Dealcast from Merger Market. I'm Juliana Needham. If you've enjoyed the podcast, please follow it. And if you're on an app that supports it, please give us a rating and review. To find out more about what we've been talking about on this episode, have a look at our show notes. We'll be taking a short break for the rest of August and we'll be back in early September. So see you then. Thank you.